It is a delight for me again to come to you with studies in the Gospel through Luke. And as I have been saying in past messages, this is a wonderful, wonderful Gospel to read. In fact, sometimes I think in talking to some people, and they will ask me, what should I read to know about the Savior? I think I would use the Gospel through Luke. Because here you see him in his love, in his compassion, in his grace, in his tenderness toward men and women, irrespective of what their circumstances were. Now, I know many of you like the Gospel through John, so do I. And there you have, of course, the proving of our Savior as the Son of God, as God manifest in the flesh. And these claims which he makes in the Gospel through John could not be made by any other person than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, in the Gospel through Luke, we've been dealing with our Lord as coming in the midst of the human race as a man, a real man. And we were discussing, first of all, the prophecy concerning the coming of our Lord. In the first chapter, at verse 5, and running right through to the end of the chapter, right through the 80th verse. And in our last lesson, we were dealing with the promise of the forerunner, John the Baptist, which is found in verses 5 to 25. We find that here God found a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were godly, who were, shall I say, righteous before God and right before men. In the midst of a nation that was in spiritual declension, surrounded by the Roman government, which put pressure on them, which was cruel, and a decadent priesthood, God found those who walked with him. And I want to press that to your heart. Whatever the circumstance may be on earth, in your neighborhood, in your city, wherever you live, there's no excuse for us not to walk with God. If we belong to him, if we are his children, then we ought to walk godly in Christ Jesus. And you can do it, because God has indwelt you by his Spirit. So you can live that supernatural life that God expects of his people. And he does it by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, there was a promise made to Zechariah and Elizabeth. They've been praying for a long time for a child, especially for a boy. And now, they received word from heaven. Gabriel, the messenger of God, came right down to this dear couple and informed them they were going to have a son. And this son would be great in the sight of the Lord. He'd be filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb, and he would be used by the Lord in bringing many in Israel to the Lord and preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. I'm not going to go back over this, except to just point this thing out, and then to remind you especially that this man Zechariah, being a priest, possibly had the one opportunity of coming in the holy place and there offering incense before God. This was something these priests, especially the godly priests, lived in continual anticipation of coming in the presence of God and offering their incense of worship and praise and thanksgiving. And when I think of that, when I think of us Christians today, we have an open access into the presence of God. God tells us to come with confidence, with boldness into his presence at any time. You find that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Marvelous thing. Or in Hebrews chapter 10, around verses 18 on down to 21, we have this wonderful thing that God has made the provision whereby we can come right into his presence at any time, under any circumstance. Oh, believer in Christ, let us not miss this opportunity that day by day, hour by hour, you can come in the presence of God and really have fellowship with him. Not some vague religious experience, but a real conscious experience of the presence of God. And talk to him like a child does to a father. I've been greatly thrilled of late of one precious little truth in the book of Romans chapter 8 where we cry, Abba, Father. This wonderful relationship between a father and his child. So we come with confidence. We come with trust. We come believing that he wants our fellowship, that he enjoys our fellowship, and he wants to meet our every need. And so you go on down through the chapter, and you have where, right on down through to verse 25, you have where Elizabeth conceives and is going to have a boy, going to call his name John. Now today we go into the promise of the Lord, the announcement to Mary. I'm reading from verse 26 to 38, and I'm going to take the time to read these verses so it'll be fresh in your mind. In the sixth month, that is the sixth month that Elizabeth was bearing the child John, the angel Gabriel was sent up from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Let me just stop here. Now here is a messenger from God who comes down to the town of Nazareth. It's an amazing thing to me. The angel Gabriel didn't come to the king in Jerusalem. He didn't come to the palace. He didn't come to the temple. He didn't even come to Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Where did he come? To Nazareth. Despised Nazareth. Possibly one of the most corrupt towns in Galilee. You see, Nazareth was a place on the highway between Jerusalem and going up north into Antioch. And here you have all the caravans would go through or right bypass this little town of Nazareth. There was a regiment of Roman soldiers there. It was known for its corruption, for its sinfulness, for its vice. And yet the angel of the Lord came to this city. And he came to a home, a humble home, in despised Nazareth. You remember in John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 46, when Philip said to Nathanael, We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael answered, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip just said one thing, come on and see. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? This is the record of this town. Vile, immoral, corrupt, and yet the angel of God. Think of the angel of God, the messenger of God, Gabriel, who stood in the presence of God, coming right to a humble home and despise Nazareth. You know, I can't help but say this. God wants to come into your home. Not the angel, but God wants to come into your home. Mr. Mitchell, you don't know what kind of home I have. I don't need to know that. when I think that God came to a home in despised, corrupt, vile Nazareth, he wants to come into your home. He wants to come into your life. He wants to come into your heart. I don't care how corrupt it is. He comes to cleanse you. He comes to forgive you. He wants to come and live in you. This is good news from God. That God is not looking for good people to commend. He's looking for sinners he might save. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. As the Apostle Paul could write, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he adds, of whom I am chief. Do you ever think of it? Mr. Mitchell, you say, but you know, I've been a blasphemer all my life. Yes, Paul also was a blasphemer. You find this in his own writings in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said before he was saved, before he knew the Savior, he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the people of the way, the persecutor of Christians. Men, women, and children threw them into jail, hated the people of the way. Then God came into his heart, transformed him from a blasphemer into a missionary, from one who was afar off and made him nigh. I tell you, when I read a thing like this, God is looking for open hearts. He's looking for people who are hungry for himself. I don't care, my friend, what you are. I know one thing. God can meet your need right where you are. Well, here we have the greeting. The angel came right down, and he said in verse 28, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now notice this greeting. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Or, if I might change the wording, you're full of grace. You found grace in the sight of the Lord. God has chosen you to be the maid through whom his son should come. Now remember, this little woman, this girl in fact in Nazareth, like every other girl in Israel, way back in their hearts, they hoped that they would one day be chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the one who should come. For God had said to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and through David and all the way down that God was going to have someone come through whom the whole world would be blessed. Every family in the earth could be blessed. And so every Jewish girl hoped that she would become the mother of the Messiah. Now here's this dear Mary. And the angel said, You found favor with the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Why was the Lord with her? Because she had found grace in his sight. She found favor with the Lord. Now she was agitated. She was troubled. What in the world does it mean? So in verse 30 to 33, he goes on and makes the annunciation or the announcement concerning the coming of the Messiah. Now listen to these words. The angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We just stop here a moment. Notice, all fear was gone. Why? Because she had found favor with God. She had found grace with God. And hence, all fear was gone. You know, my friend, may I say to you personally, he's just as willing to come to you on the ground of the wonderful, wonderful grace of God manifested through his precious Son, the Lord Jesus. You can come too in the very presence of God and have all fear, all fear removed. When one has grace with God, fear is gone. You can't have fear and grace together. Fear not, Mary. The first thing it does is remove all fear. You found favor with God. You're in grace with God, if I can use that term. You know, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The one thing God wants to give men and women is peace. But how can I have peace when I've sinned against God? How can I have peace when I've been corrupt in my life? My friend, listen. God has made provision for that in wonderful grace. Jesus Christ came for this express purpose, to put away the barrier between you and God. God wants you to have peace. He removes all fear. Sometimes I get mail, and I have people saying, I'm afraid to come in the presence of God. There need not be any fear in anyone's heart to come in the presence of God if they have accepted His wonderful grace in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying here. Fear not, Mary. You have found grace with God. Oh, the marvelous provision God has made. God wants. I wish in some way I could put this in words the way I feel about it. God wants you. He wants not only to redeem you and save you and forgive you every sin, but he wants to come right into your life. He wants to join you to himself. He wants to shower upon you all his grace. This is what he's saying to Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, you found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and you'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. And then in verse 32 and 33, gives you a list concerning this one who should come. Let me just read it to you. You're going to bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord's going to give him a throne. He's going to be a king. He's going to reign forever and forever and forever. Of his kingdom, there shall be no end. My, what a promise. What an announcement to make. The one she's going to give birth to is going to be a real Son of God. You're going to call him Jesus. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where we have in Matthew's version, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For the word Jesus, Jehoshua, means Savior, Deliverer. And he's going to save his people from their sins. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. My friend, only one could claim these things. And this one is the eternal Son of God. He's going to have a throne. He's going to fulfill all the promises made to David. As you have it, you remember, in 2 Samuel, when God promised David that his throne would be, his kingdom would be forever. And now, the angel is saying, the one who's going to be born of you, Mary, is going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, I'm not going to take the time to speak in detail about this kingdom of which there's going to be no end. I think he speaks here, of course, in the fulfilling of the prophetic page you have in the Old Testament, where God was going to send the Anointed One, the Christ of God. And you can start with the second Psalm. You follow all the way through. You go through the book of Samuel and Kings, and you'll find where God has made these promises. When you come to your prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and so on, down through Zechariah and Malachi. In fact, the very last word of Malachi was the fact that Elijah, the one, John the Baptist, would come in the power and strength of Elijah. This is what the whole Jewish nation, especially those who believe the Bible, were waiting for, longing for, lived in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, who would be their Savior, not only to save them from their enemies, but to save them from their sins. And now the prophecy goes beyond that, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now you notice Mary's answer in verse 34. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Here is a very pure girl living in a vile city. I'm going to take this up in our next lesson, but I want to point this out to you and to me. I don't care what your conditions are. And I speak to you young people. You can live a life of purity in the midst of a world that's gone into vile corruption. God has made it possible. And God has those, praise His name, of young people, fellows and girls who are living pure lives in the midst of corruption. They've not given in to the things around them. Even though they may have to walk alone, they're going to walk with God, a pure life. And you can do it in the power of the Spirit of God. I'm going to continue this in our next lesson. Will you please read the Gospel through Luke? May the Spirit of God take these words and make them real to your heart and real to your life. And walk with Him today, will you? For His name's sake.